I usually don't tell stories, but let me tell you a story. So, Donald, Bubba, I'm sorry. There's some stuff I will not tell, but I got a story about me and Bubba when we were running around. Yeah. And I thought about it last night because we was at the rodeo last night and we were watching the bull ride and stuff. So I don't know if it was he or I. One of us had a stupid idea that we can be bull riders. And we went to the Cowboy, the Rising Sun, when they called it then, the Cowboy Church in Trinity. And somehow they got a picture of me because I wasn't on it for, what's a half of 15 seconds, about 7.5 seconds. Not even that long. And you got a picture. It looks like I know what I'm doing. So that's my claim to fame with Donald. And then our business venture we took, we spent all weekend cutting up firewood. We're going to get rich. We loaded a trailer, 16-foot little trailer that's already wore out. And you couldn't stick another piece of wood on it. And we made it from his house in Oakhurst to the outskirts of Oakhurst. And blew all four tires out on the trailer. So we unhooked the trailer, left it in the bar ditch with the wood, and we just went on fishing or whatever, hunting or whatever we decided to do. But anyway, that's what triggered it, was the bull riding, and I seen Donald sitting back here. So there's some other stories, but it's mine and his best interest. We don't tell him, and we're not going to. So what else we got? So today is the start of Holy Week, Palm Sunday. I don't know if y'all realize that or not. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that, because every day this week is something important. And leading up to, obviously, next Sunday, Easter. And the best thing that could possibly ever happen for us is Jesus busted out of the grave, amen, resurrected, and so for you and I. And awesome, pretty awesome. So today we're going to try to talk about a little bit. Go ahead and turn to, let me find my scripture real quick. I'm all over the place a little bit here. Let's see, John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27 is where we're going to be at when I get there. If you read that, it's a little bit about John. This is the disciple John. And before we get into that real quick, I got something else I want to share. So you ever thought down through history, you know, I'm kind of partial to the name John. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. And so just think about all the awesome, great Johns down through history. You know, you had John Adams. He was a president way back under. John F. Kennedy. A lot of y'all remember that. Remember I said y'all. Because that's before my time. I don't have that much gray hair yet. John Hancock, y'all remember that in history class? Okay. Then we got some theologians, some scholars, John Calvin. And then you got actors and singers. You know, you had John Lennon of the Beatles, Johnny Cash, John Wayne is on my next one. John Wesley is one of my favorites. Matter of fact, Set the World on Fire Bible Study 300 is a quote from John Wesley. John Travolta. John Henry. And then there's John Pierce. But let's get serious here for a second. John the Baptist. Now, I was raised Baptist, so I wasn't John the Baptist. I was John A. Baptist. Yeah, not the A. So, not too funny. John the Apostle. Okay? Big John. We can call him Big John. And I went over that. It's kind of corny, kind of funny a little bit maybe. But I wanted to go over that because we're going to talk a little bit about John. Have you ever thought about what John was doing during this Holy Week? And especially the crucifixion. Come on. Where was he at? What was he doing? So I said it's Holy Week. You know, we're joking here, or I joke, that our Holy Week, you know, is when we got the first of the month. You know, we got the men's breakfast, and we got Bible study along with all the other services. But our Holy Week falls on the real Holy Week. Okay, we got men's breakfast coming up, then we got the Bible study. But let's focus on a little bit of Holy Week and then the Apostle John. So today is Palm Sunday. We having technical problems, Daryl? There you go. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Oh, by the way, when we did all the mic squealing a while ago, earlier, that was my fault. I guess I flexed and my mic fell down in my, I didn't know it, my mic fell down in my shirt. So that's what happened there. All right, Palm Sunday. That's when Jesus rode in on a donkey. Y'all remember that? Okay, that happened this week, today, about 2,000 years ago. And we're not gonna spend a lot of time on each one of those, but I just want you to realize what Holy Week is. Because a lot of times we go straight to Easter. Okay? Which is important. Very important. I just, you know, that's the most important thing that happened, that he died on the cross, but he also come out of the ground. So Palm Sunday, he rode in on a donkey and laid the palm branches down. And there's scripture for you if you want to look it up later. Tomorrow is Holy Monday. Remember when Jesus cleansed the temple? They was treating the place of God as a place of business and transaction, money. And he went in there and flipped some tables, literally flipped tables. Okay? Then we got Tuesday, Holy Tuesday. Jesus teaches in the temple and teaches about the end times. When you get a chance, read Matthew 21 and 20, 24. Then comes Wednesday. That's when he plots to kill Jesus or give the sign, betray Jesus. Remember he told him, the man I kiss on the cheek. And what about Thursday, Holy Thursday? That's when Jesus had the Last Supper and the washing of the disciples' feet. Now, just think about this. Jesus knows he's headed to the cross. Amen. Okay? But notice, and we're going to kind of tie it in with John here later too. And so, but notice that he never lost focus on his people. He took care of his disciples. I don't know about you. If I know I'm fixing to die, get killed, what are we going to be doing? We've probably been trying to figure out a way not for it to happen, right? I mean, that's, be honest, that's probably what we do. But Jesus didn't do that. Then Good Friday, that's coming up this week. The crucifixion of death of Jesus, John 19. Y'all can read about that. And then that's where we're going to pick up here in a little bit on John, how John plays an important role in this. Then Holy Saturday, Jesus lies in the tomb. A lot of stuff happened during this time. Read John chapter 19. And so, and then, of course, Sunday is Easter. So I just want to point that out to you because, and I'll be honest with you, most of my life, my Christian life, I just focus on Easter morning. And that's good. That is important. But don't forget what all Jesus done leading up to this. You know, he was busy that week. Right. He was busy. He didn't just sit around and wait to die. Come on. You know, he was taking care of business while he was waiting to die. So just a little bit about this week and Easter, the significance of it. Redemption. It represents the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus for our salvation. I know it's not Easter Day. We're going to talk a little bit about it, but it's important enough. We're going to have some. We can talk about it next week too. Two times next week, different ways. Jesus knew that we couldn't do it, so he did it for us. So that's his redemption. It made a new covenant for us. It established, one of my favorite words I like to use, a new relationship with God. He put that, there's a gap. We can't get to God without Jesus. We got to go through Jesus. You know, I made a joke about talking about all the Johns. John 14:6. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is what he had to do for that to happen. And here's the great thing about it. Victory over death. He took away the sting. Old sting is an Old Testament prophecy. It's in the New Testament. It's there. Just go research. He took away that sting of death. Bottom line is, everybody in here, at some point, is going to die. The physical death. But you only do it one time and go right on into eternal life. And Jesus did that for us. I heard a guy tell me one time, he said, Terry Vogler told me one time that heaven's his home, but he's not homesick yet. But we don't need to be scared of death. But Jesus took care of that. He wiped it all away. All right, let me make my transition. So let's talk about John a little bit. The importance of John the Baptist at the crucifixion. I mean, John the Apostle, sorry. Did y'all know he was the only one of the 12 to remain at the foot of the cross? The only one. Of all the disciples, all 12 of them, he's the only one that stayed. And Jesus Christ, that's recorded. And he's known as the disciple who Jesus loved. He stood with the Virgin Mary, to whom Jesus entrusted his care to. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. He was present at Calvary while the other disciples fled in fear. John stood near the cross, witness to Jesus' final hours. What kind of friends you got? Are they going to stand by you, your side, when the times get rough, when times get hard? Hope so. We hope so, right? This is what John did for Jesus. This is how much he loved Jesus and Jesus loved him. And we're going to get into some more stuff about it. It gets pretty interesting. But it's not if you have a problem. It's when. Or troubles. Where's those friends at? As Christians, we need to support each other during these trying times, during this bad stuff. We need to be there for each other all the time. And you know, up to the point where John, he's risking his life by doing this. But he didn't care. He stayed because he knew who Jesus was. He knew. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you really know who Jesus is? Is he just somebody you heard about? You know he's real, but you know deep down what and who Jesus is. We get into that. We need to know. You know, I did a little deal the other day. I ran across a deal the other day. And stuff. You know, a lot of people believe in Jesus, believe there is a Jesus or was a Jesus, right? But they don't believe what it is. Don't believe in him. They believe of him, not in him. So let me ask you a question. And so those of you who went to school, and so is George Washington real? Was he a real person? The first president? How do you know? Was you there? No. You know, a lot of people say, well, that was 2,000 years ago with Jesus. Yeah. But there's, and that's my little segue on you to show up next week, because we can talk about the evidence of the resurrection and who Jesus is. There's, and I was impressed, not impressed, I was not caught off guard. What's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, I was like, when I dug into the study of his evidence of the resurrection and of Jesus, I was like, wow, it's all through the Bible. It's all through there. So what I'm saying is, just because you wasn't around 2,000 years ago, that don't mean Jesus isn't real. And Jesus is alive and well. If I keep that up, we have to switch sermons. I have to do that next week. If I can. Let me get back to. And you know, Jesus, when he was there, his mother was at the cross. And he told John, here's your son. And Jesus knew where he was going, what was happening. And he turned, that's how much faith he had in John, is you, he told his mother, you can be taken care of because here he is. Here's your son, John. That's how close a relationship that was. Not his biological son, but his son. Take care of me. Take care of her. It said, from that hour on, John took Mary into his home. John represents steadfast devotion and love remaining with Jesus in the darkest hour. And we get into this a little bit later, but he's also one of the first ones after the resurrection to show up at the tomb. John was the faithful witness. Mary, like we said, was there, mother of Jesus. And it says, Scripture says, standing directly near the cross, witnessing the sacrifice despite their profound sorrow. His mother was there. John was there. And I did y'all a disgrace a while ago. I didn't read y'all Scripture, did I? But there it is. John 19:25-27 is what we're going over. I got so tied up into it, I forgot to read it first. That's all right. All right, yeah, y'all got it. It's on the board. We all right. We're going to be all right. At the Savior's sight, amidst agony, Jesus notices his mother and beloved disciple standing there. Now, I want you to pick up on Jesus, too, what he's done here. You know, his close disciple is there with him during his darkest hour. But pay attention to what Jesus is doing. Jesus is dying on the cross. But look what he realizes. He's still caring for people. When you're in a bad time, are you still compassionate? Are you still loving for other people? Still trying to help them? Now, hopefully they're helping you when you go through some difficult times. That's the way this works. But even when up to the point of death, like Jesus, he's still caring for his people. He appointed the disciple, John, as her protector. And when he told John, behold, here's your mother, talking about Mary, has established a spiritual relationship based on love rather than physical kinship. If you're a Christian, when we get to heaven, we're going to be what? Brothers and sisters in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, you can go into, there's different thoughts and theories about you can know your wife or your ex-wife or whatever. Damn, y'all hard. Woo, y'all don't like my jokes today. Anyhow, But it doesn't matter. We're talking about the golden road a while ago, you know, and stuff that we're walking on and stuff. It's so less of a value that we're walking on it in heaven. And so we can be so occupied by the glory of God in Christ that it ain't going to matter what kind of gold or diamonds are up there or who's up there with you. Now, I told you before, we're probably going to be surprised who's there and who's not there. You know, there's a lot of people playing church that you think is going to be there. And we got a problem with that and as a whole, as a world, is playing church. And that get me on another soapbox. And notice when he told John, here's your mother, take care of her, he didn't go make preparations. It was immediate. From that hour, the disciple took her in his home, fulfilling the mandate immediately and faithfully. I mean, just think about it. And so they ain't no different way back then it is today. They're still human. John's still a regular man, right? So now, no, he got his own family that he's taking care of, his own stuff going on. Now he gets a woman dumped on him. And I say dumped. That's not to sound bad, isn't it? I mean, just think about it, though. I mean, that's what happened. Yeah, given. That's a better word. Not dumped. You know what I meant.
Great privilege. Mother God.
And I read some commentary said that was the creation of the church community as believers at the foot of the cross. You got this group of people at the cross, at the bottom of the cross. Just think. And so, you know, we're in Acts right now in the Bible study on Sunday nights and Wednesday night. And the explosion of the church, the disciples took it and ran with it. But it started here. Jesus is on his way out. He's taking care of business on the cross still. And stuff, and got the community working together, and then they went from there. So just keep that in mind, too. He said, one of the most tender and profound scenes in all Scripture, Jesus is hanging on the cross, his body broken, his breath fading. Yet his heart remains fully attentive to others. Now, I don't know about you. When I have a bad day, I like to have it by myself. That's probably not the best thing to do. But don't you like to crawl up in a hole somewhere and just shut the doors, the blinds? It shouldn't be that way. That's why we need to, just like Jesus, he's still actively working. You can have a bad day and still help somebody else. You can have a bad day together to make it all better. You go fishing or something. You need to realize the significance of Jesus with his mother. Back then, women, and so they couldn't support themselves like they do today. Okay, so he knew. He wasn't going to be there. So, that's, you know, he passed on the torch. He didn't dump her. He gave. And again, I said it already, even in agony, Jesus sees and he notices and he cares. And this is a better way to say it than how I said it. Most people in extreme pain turn inward. But Jesus looked outward. He sees his mother, just a figure in the crowd, but as a grieving parent. He sees the beloved disciple, often understood to be John, as someone who will need purpose and connection after this moment. Christ-like love. All right, now, this is where rubber meets the road here now. Christ-like love. And so if you're a Christian, this applies to you. Christ-like love does not disappear in suffering. Come on. It is revealed through it. Amen. We say all the time up here, or I say all the time up here, 90% of your witness is how you handle yourself in all situations.
Amen.
People see that. People don't see that. And don't have to tell them you're a Christian. They should know you're a Christian by the way you handle your situation, the way you carry yourself. Do you reach out to those people in need? I said, when life is the hardest, what do we see? Only our pain, or do we still see others like Christ did? He still see need of others. He's in a pretty bad spot right now, fleshly speaking. He's in pain and agony and going through all this suffering, but he still focuses on the needs of people. In that phase, to break it down, he said, woman, here's your son, what Scripture says. And he told John, here's your mother. This creates a new relationship. There's more than practical care. It's a symbolic. At the foot of the cross, a new kind of family is born, not based on blood, but on faith, love, and shared devotion. How many times, especially as a kid, and you grew up in church, that song, The Family of God, I'm a part of the family of God. There's a reason that song is called The Family of God. We're a family.
Right.
The church is a family. I can't help but say it, but what's the church? I'm looking at y'all, so to speak. Y'all, we're a family. We like each other or not. You gotta love each other. And that's good. That's a good testimony. When you're helping somebody you really don't want to help. But I ain't gonna go there too much. So here's a couple of questions. You know, you ask questions, you answer the question, you usually get more questions. but it also helps you. Who has God placed in your life to care for? Maybe not right this second, but throughout life, time and time, God's going to place somebody in your path that you need to take care of, either physically, mentally, whatever, different situations. And who might you need to receive as a family, even if they are not related to you? You know, usually you help family members sometimes. I don't know. I heard some guy tell me one time he likes his friends better than his family. I don't know. I just. He says, friends go home. And I mentioned Mary's there, John's there, Mary Magdalene is at the foot of the cross, whatever. Notice that there's no miracles being performed. They're not stopping the crucifixion. They are simply there. You don't have to do nothing special to help somebody. Sometimes you just got to be there. Give them a shoulder to lean on. Let them talk. Let them vent. A lot of times the best thing you can do is shut up and get out of the way and just listen. And that in itself will help. You know, sometimes you got to stay when it's painful. Sometimes you got to stay when it's unclear, when you don't understand it. I'm telling you, the closer you get to God and the more you're obedient to God, the less you're probably going to understand on why you're doing something or why he has you doing what you're doing at the moment. I can testify to that.
Oh, yeah.
And stay when others walk away. How many times you see people walk away from situations all the time? walk away from churches all the time. When the tough get, what's that old saying? When the tough gets going, or whatever, the toughs. There you go. The cross teaches us that love often looks like presence before it looks like an action. Not presence like a gift, the being there, present, in attendance, put it that way. Sometimes just being there leads to an action later. That's, you know, either as the person feels better or they get through their problem, build a relationship. And I got a testimony on that. I forgot about this. I got a good friend of mine, and I share stuff with y'all sometimes. He goes on mission trips. He works at DPS. And so 8 years ago or so, however long it was, we started just a simple little, hey, let's read a scripture together. We read a little scripture. That turned in to reading more scripture that we had to get to work early before the bosses got there. Because we was doing Bible study. Y'all ain't laughing at that either? Anyway, then it led to another person, then another person, and we had as many as 10 people in the office, in the Liberty office, doing Bible study. We didn't do nothing special. We just read scripture, and it led to one thing. Sometimes just showing up to things will lead to others and some action. So at the cross, and that's all where it starts and begins, at the cross. If it wasn't for the cross, we wouldn't be talking about this stuff today. Amen. And we won't be talking about next week when he come up out of the ground. But at the cross where it all began, that he had to do for us. And thank God for that. Literally, thank God for sending his son to die on the cross for you and I in order that we can accept his grace and have eternal salvation. At the cross, we see love that notices. We see love that provides. If you notice a need, then provide something. Love that creates community. You know, he put a family together. And love that remains present. The disciples, including John, talking about John, but we're in the book of Acts. We have church today because of them. What Jesus laid on their heart and had them to do, and the explosion of the church age. We're living in the church age after Jesus died on the cross. These 12 men, dedicated men, they eventually all come back together. Then they go out and spread the gospel. And that's still continuing on today. That's what it's passed on to generation to generation. And that's what we're called, bare minimum, is called to spread the gospel. To say something about Jesus. Hear the words of Jesus, just not as spoken to Mary and John, but spoken to us as well. Jesus loves us just as much as he loves them. And he still does today. Take care of your family. Care for one another. Stand near the cross. Because it is there, at this place of sacrifice, that love is most clearly seen. Again, the closer you get to God, the more opportunities and the more accustomed you get to be put in situations. Because you got to do something. You got to, you know, to get a reaction, you got to have an action. It starts with doing something. And the closer you get to the cross, the closer you get to God, the more opportunities he'll provide you. And he's always there for you and lead you. I'm going to close with this. Everything I said today is geared towards Christians. If you're not a Christian, I'm going to give you the opportunity. Where you at or down here, come to me. Stand up. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. Amen. He can take care of you where you at. All you got to do is give it to God. Give it to Jesus. I'll leave you with this. John 19:30. And we'll pick up next week after this scripture. It is finished. I don't know about y'all, but when somebody tells me it's finished, it's done, it's over with. That's the last words that Jesus spoke on that cross when he died for you and I to give us that opportunity. So it still goes today. It is finished. He took care of it. All you got to do is just accept it. Enjoy it. As the musicians come forward, right where you at, everybody stand. I will close in prayer. Be a song of invitation. Like I said, I can't say it no better than what that scripture just said on the board there. It is finished. It is finished. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for what you've done on the cross for us, Lord, and just give us that opportunity and so to receive you, to accept your word, to accept what you have for us, Lord. Just thank you for everything you've done for us. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.